Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. Napa Know
How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 9/30/18.
Coming up on the Gym Class for a Thursday, a jam-packed Thursday here on KGYM. We're going to talk with Dave Koken from Las Vegas, Iowa State, what he thinks of the game, and a whole lot more. Rob Gray from CycloneFanatic.com will be joining us. BNA update and recap from last night. And it is the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. That is all coming up here on the Gym Class right here on KGYM on this Thursday.
God almighty, would you look at that.
Beautiful, huh?
Honey, hush. Well, I don't guess we're going to be riding in a truck together this time, are we?
Oh, no, son. No, son. I'll be driving this one.
Hey,
Blocker.
Blocker.
You'll be driving the truck.
That's
this
right.
Is Bandit 1, and that is...
Bandit 2. Mm-hmm. Together again.
Oh, yeah. Like Fred and Ginger and Lester and Earl.
That's right. But we got a problem.
What's that?
Now, you know them Smokies, they got them CBs in their car now. You know that.
I know that. I know that. I haven't worked that out yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Hey.
You got an idea?
I got an idea.
Look, yeah.
Why don't we do this? If I say go to channel 21, forget it. We ain't going to 21. We're going to 19.
21 is 19?
21
is 19.
All right, if I say go to channel 6, forget it. We go to 3.
I don't go to 6. I go to 3.
Good. We go to 3.
Perfect.
Now, if I say go to channel 2, we're going to go to channel 1.
2 is 1.
See, that'll confuse everybody.
That'll confuse them. On the other hand.
Yeah.
If we stayed on the odd channels,
right? Yeah.
Switched every time and started in the basement, that'd work too.
Huh? That'd do it too, wouldn't it? Well, yeah, that'd work too, I guess.
Let's all ask.
There you go. Together once again. The great Burt Reynolds. We lost him today at the age of 82. A little snippet from Smokey and the Bandit right there. Is he and the Snowman are together somewhere up, somewhere, having a good time, probably going over some stories and talking about Smokey and the Bandit. Welcome in, Scott Unash, alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today on the Gym Class on KGYM. If you have not heard, Burt Reynolds passing away earlier on today, an icon on the screen, off the screen, movies, television, people don't seem to remember Evening Shade, a great show about a high school football coach before Coach. I think it was before Coach. But anyway, on CBS, very, very good program. And a sex symbol for women for a long, long time out there. And unfortunately, Burt passing away today at the age of 82. Certainly a Hollywood icon, Mark. Good afternoon.
Absolutely. Highly entertaining guy and interesting guy. It's sports related. Played football at Florida State. In fact, his roommate,
did.
Do you know who his roommate was at Florida State?
No.
Who was the coach of Iowa's opponent in Hayden Fry's first game?
Oh, Lee Corso.
Lee Corso was
really
Burt Reynolds' roommate, at least for a while, at Florida State. Injuries cut short his career, but...
Can't imagine those two ever getting in any trouble.
Yeah.
Had to run a few steps. Don't gamble.
Fun movies. Always loved The Longest Yard. And you mentioned Smokey and the Bandit. There was actually a sequel to that. And
which wasn't really good. It had an elephant in it.
They rarely are. But interesting guy. Great career. And gone today.
Yeah. And up there with Jerry Reed and Jackie Gleason. Talking about Smokey and the Bandit, I would imagine. Maybe the most iconic movie that that he has had, anyway.
Favorite spouse of Burt Reynolds? Sally Field or Lonnie Anderson?
That's the
Ginger.
That's Ginger
and Marianne, isn't it?
Man. You know, I'm going for the wholesome girl next door type, so I'm going Sally Field.
I am, too. I'm going Lonnie Anderson.
You can't go wrong with either one.
There's no wrong answer.
No wrong answer to that one, ladies and gentlemen out there. But, yeah, Burt Reynolds passing away today at the age of 82. Certainly the tribute starting to come in as far as his career and his life is concerned. Yes, two sequels, Mark, not one. There was a Smokey and the Bandit 3.
Oh, there was.
That should have never, ever got off the
ground. I don't think I caught that.
After Smokey and the Bandit 2 out there. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. Hurtina Stocker Jewelers located on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. We are presented by Third Base Brewery today. And Third Base at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. And a great place to take in the game tonight. Atlanta, Philadelphia, kicking off the NFL season after all kinds of pre-game concerts and what have you. We'll have it tonight for you. All three frequencies beginning at 7 o'clock right here from Westwood One on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Jam-packed show. We're going to talk to Dave Koken coming up here in a little bit. Rob Gray, Cycling Fanatic, is going to be joining us, and we have the Eagles Hideaway Pick 6 with Dave coming in studio. As somebody tries to get over 500 today. Todd was the winner via tiebreaker at 3-3 last week. Both teams were 8-10. We'll see how that will play out. All right. We talked about the unfortunate passing of Burt Reynolds. Other things going on today. It looked for a while the 59 watch was on, and the 59 watch is still on. It's not on for the guy we thought the 59 watch would be on. Tiger's back.
Certainly is for one round. Tiger Woods playing his 18th hole of the day, 7 under par on his round after shooting 29 on the first nine. But here comes Rory McIlroy, 8 under through 13 holes. This is a par 70 course, so 3 more birdies, and the 59 watch will be on. For Rory McIlroy, those two clear of Billy Horschel, who is at minus 6. This, of course, the third leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, the BMW Championship in Pennsylvania. The top 30 move on. There's no cut in this tournament. The top 30 move on to Eastlake in a championship next week. Cedar Rapidian Zach Johnson birdied 3 of his first 4 holes, but he is now stuck at 2 under par. Through 16 holes, he has a relatively easy par 5 ninth hole remaining. But
a 600-yarder, Mark.
well, they're birding it a lot. But Zach Johnson, 200 through 16 holes, currently tied for 20th. And Zach is going to need to finish tied 4th or better to advance the next week.
Yeah, or he's going to be missing Eastlake. Well, it's in 2 weeks, actually. They take next
That's
week
correct.
Off. So he needs something pretty big to happen.
Pretty big within the last 24 to 36 hours. Zach Johnson named a vice captain for this year's Ryder Cup team. Not going to make it as a player. But Captain Jim Furyk named Zach, Matt Kuchar, and David Duvall vice captains. And that's a ton of experience and knowledge to add to your team.
Yeah, that's pretty cool out there. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in. We're going to talk Cy-Hawk. It got snarky on Twitter today, ladies and gentlemen. Kind of both sides, but it's starting to get snarky on Cy-Hawk week. The funness is out of it on the two fan bases, I think, a little bit.
Well, it's the
fan. And I'm not going to blame one side or the other for starting it.
Well, it's the fan bases. It's not the teams. I don't think there's any bulletin board material either side has said about the other that's going to show up. Unlike last week, Sutton Smith of Northern Illinois making some comments about going into Kinnick Stadium last week and taking care of business, which he and they did not. But, if you're on Twitter, mainly on Twitter, a lot of bantering going on back and forth among fans, a few media members, and
can't we all get along?
Yeah, it's kind of gotten a little low, but yeah.
Can't we all just get along? We've got Colonel's tickets for tomorrow night's game. It was going to be tonight's game, but, of course, they were rained out in Beloit last night, so now game one will be tonight in Beloit, and they're going to have and it's not good for anyone, but I understand why the Midwest League is going to do what they do. Now, it'd be great if Cedar Rapids just take care of business, win tonight, win game one tomorrow, not have to play a back end of a doubleheader in a game 3 situation. But there is a potential doubleheader tomorrow at Veterans Memorial Stadium. So we'll see how that all plays out. We got tickets to at least one game for you tomorrow. You can pick them up at Will Call. We'll have two pair of those, or we'll have two opportunities for you to win, I should say, coming up today here before 4 o'clock in the gym
briefly,
class.
I just don't think this is a good way to go about things. I know the next round of playoffs starts Saturday, but and you know, weather is something in the equation. There's no question about it, but 7-inning games in the playoffs, I disagree with. Doubleheaders, I disagree with. And if it gets to Game 3, it essentially wipes out a home date for Cedar Rapids. And true. I just don't understand why they couldn't move back the next round a day or so.
Yeah. 319-366-16.
Which they may have to anyway.
100.
I'm sorry.
Tiger has just chipped in on your 600-yard. Tiger did everything right today. Hit it within 5 feet on a par 5. There's only two par 5s at Aronimink. What are they going to have, the PGA in 2024 or something like that? Just chipped in for a birdie on the par 5 ninth hole, his final hole of the day. So he ends at 8. Rory's at 8, and he's got another chance at a kick-in birdie coming up. So 59 watches on. And this is a tough golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Tough. They're going to hold a PGA here coming up. So this isn't, you know, this isn't your mini golf muni out there.
It's a Donald Ross design course, and not unlike Cedar Rapids Country Club. That's a Donald Ross design as well.
Correct.
And just has a different way about, you know, shaping, you know, a lot of bumps and whatnot here and there. In regards to the text line, Ryan in Walford, Tiger's gone from 6'5", 6 to 26 in the world this year. Obviously, he doesn't have a win but he is starting to contend week in and week out. He's back, and the PGA couldn't be happier. Go Hawks.
Rory's going to beat him, though. I selfishly say. Mm-hmm. My fantasy golf team. You don't want to hear about my fantasy golf team. You want to hear, before we get to Dave Kokin, about we got to get to BNA already. Because
it's early.
It's early,
that's
but we
okay.
got to do it. We got to do it. Our Bowling Night in America wrap-up from week one is presented by May City Bowl, located on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Great to see smiling faces last night. New people welcome. New team. We don't have a bye this year, so that's going to make things better. So it was all good last night.
Regulars switching sponsors. We're going to have to keep track of that.
Yeah.
But at any rate, we got through it. I woke up this morning, and I know you're going to say, come on, Mark, it's bowling. I was a little sore.
Come on, Mark,
I
didn't
use those
bowling
muscles for a while. But we got through it, and all in all, a decent night. We lost two games, but we won one and the series with a big second game, which was
a big one.
Tops in the league last night, the best single game on the lanes, a 12-73 in the second game. That got us 2-2 on points. And we're tied for 6th in the league after 1 week. Only one team went 4-0. Mike Robinson with a nice 279 in the lead the way individually. Joel Donner, 694. Marcus Smits, our opponent last night, had 690. But our guys, Scott, Corey Starry flirting with a 300.
Free agent pickup. But former Rusty Nail.
Fourth best series on the lane, 673. Bob Davidson. The old LaSalle Lancer.
Yeah, two LaSalle Lancers do pretty well last night.
Indeed. Corey won as well. Bob with a 276, the second high game in the league last night. 671, that ranked fifth in the league. And, all right, the lid's off.
Ready to go. We had a great time last night, like I said, and good to be back at May City.
Yep, 3620136 if you want to inquire about anything regarding bowling out there at May City Bowl, or visit the website, maycitybowl.com.
Locker open, all was good. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Dave Kokin, we'll talk Iowa State. Dave's thoughts about it. And NFL football when we come back. Thursday edition of the gym class, KGYM.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA LLC has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Improve your vehicle's performance and efficiency with Quaker State High Mileage Motor Oil from Menards. Right now, pick up a 5-quart jug of High Mileage Motor Oil for only $11.56 after sale price and 11% off. Get 11% off everything. Now at Menards, good through September 8th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Are you tired of being lost in the shuffle as one of thousands of employees? Family-owned Midwest Metal Products in Cedar Rapids might feel a lot better. This small company with big opportunities has been very good to their employees for over 50 years, and they have second shift production openings right now. Watch their video tour at mwestmp.com to find out if it's the kind of place you'd rather work. Midwest Metal Products is an equal opportunity employer. Non-tobacco users only. Drug screen and physical required.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa. 319 back with you on the gym class on KGYM for a Thursday. We'll have our Emil's Hideaway pick six coming up. Dave will join us here in studio. Todd and Alex, Kyle, cast of thousands. We'll try to do better than we did last week. Also, Rob Gray of Cyclone Fanatic will be joining us. Talk Iowa State football as we are on Cyhawk Week. Iowa and Iowa State set to go at it. Speaking of that, in other college football as well, some NFL. Dave Koken set to join us right now. And we encourage you to give Dave a follow on Twitter, at Dave Koken. Also, go to smokingkoken.com, the website, and all kinds of great stuff right there. And, Dave, I don't even have to ask. You're ready for NFL football tonight, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the NFL is where the excitement is. If you're in the sports gambling business, it's the main event. It's as simple as that. Everything else is an appetizer or dessert. The NFL is where the action is, and the books are booming. A lot of money changing hands tonight. And I guess the cool part is it's not just in Nevada as far as legal is concerned now.
Well, I read on your website you like five college, five pro games this week, and I know you like baseball, but on the abbreviated schedule today, Dave. Anything on tonight's game?
No, I don't know what to do with it because you don't want to put too much stress on the preseason. In fact, maybe the best thing to say is you don't want to put any stress on the preseason in terms of what a team looks like. But I don't know how anybody can come out of what Nick Foles looked like and feel confident about his ability to perform tonight. I'm still one to believe that Foles put together one of the most improbable runs for a backup quarterback we might ever see in the playoffs last year. He's the backup quarterback, and he's not a starter, but he played like Tom Brady. In fact, he might say he played better than Tom Brady. Flukes happen. I mean, we've seen guys, you take a baseball player, gets called up from AAA and he goes absolutely bonkers for about 2 months. And then eventually goes back to the guy who was in AAA. So I need to see what Foles can bring tonight. I don't know how confident the Eagles players are in him at this point either. And he was really bad in the preseason.
Really, really bad indeed. And I know one of the picks, one of the games you like, Pittsburgh and Cleveland, and no Le'Veon Bell for Pittsburgh. You like Cleveland in the points.
Well, look, I mean, they do fit in terms of analytics, and I'm not going to go into a long thing on this because last year the analytics crowd got absolutely massacred playing the Browns on a regular basis because they played numbers, not teams. And the numbers kept pointing to Cleveland as a value every week, and well, we know how that worked out. It was a disaster. I just like them in this spot, and part of the reason for that is that it's an angle that I like that applies to the first week and maybe the first couple of weeks. in taking teams that had unusually bad turnover ratios the prior year. This is a kind of an extension of something I've used in college football for years, where teams that have a lot of turnovers one year often bounce back and they take much better care of the ball the next year and get better results because of it. The Browns, I think, might have been the worst turnover team in the history of the NFL last year. They were minus 28. That was net turnovers for the season, minus 28. Well, that's not going to happen again, and it's not going to happen again for two reasons. One, just mathematically almost impossible. And secondly, Taylor is a much better quarterback in terms of a game manager than any of those guys they had out there last year. So the Browns are going to be better than last year. And they're coming out of a good camp. I think the defense is pretty good. I don't know if the offense is going to do a lot. The Steelers are the better team. But today, plus, and the lines come down a little bit, but, you know, plus 4.5 in that range. Not the worst bet in the world for week one.
The Bears' acquisition of Khalil Mack really excited Bears fans like myself. Did it reverberate in Vegas?
Yeah, I think it is showing some impact. There's been a little money showing up on the Bears. They're still big dogs. It's not a great game from this weekend. But, I don't think you can argue with the fact that it immediately made the Bears. This is almost something you'd almost never say on a player other than a quarterback. But I think it did make the Bears 1 point better. I improved it by 1 point, my power rating for a defensive player, which is, I don't know if I've ever done that before. I did, actually, because I downgraded Houston 1 point when J.J. Watt got hurt for the first time a couple of years ago. So it has happened before. But that's how good Mac is. It, not only a physical impact, but a mental one as well, because that whole defense knows it's got a whole lot better with Khalil Mack coming into Bears camp. I love the trade for the Bears. I thought, you got to give up stuff, but you just can't get guys like Khalil Mack every day.
Well, conversely, Dave, Kevin on our text line weighing in, what in the world are the Raiders doing, and what does that mean for them?
It means that they're not going to be any good until they get here, which is okay with us. They're going to be the Las Vegas Raiders. We just assume they're not winning anything big while they're still at Oakland, and I don't think they will.
There you go. There's the answer right there. Dave Kochan joining us here at 3:24 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Let's get to college. I don't know if you got any play on this, but I'm sure you got a thought or two about it. But Iowa and Iowa State, first of all, do you play big rivalry games like this?
I might. It depends. But this is one it actually was the first game I crossed off. And the reason for it is I just don't know what to make out of a game that gets postponed after, I think, they ran 13 plays. Iowa State ran 13 mm-hmm. plays. I don't know what they take out of that. It's so unusual. There's nothing to really look at in terms of it being a positive or a negative. You know, generally you want to have, if it's a case of a team playing its second game as opposed to a team playing its first game, then you kind of want the team that's got a game under its belt. But Iowa State kind of did play. I mean, they got out there, they ran some plays, they took some hits. It wasn't a bye week. I mean, they went through their preparation, the normal preparation, and they even had some plays to look at on film coming out of the game. Not many, but at least some. So, I don't know how to judge that. I'm not sure Matt Campbell does either, but he's going to talk it up as if it's a positive, and that's what he should do. Other than that, I mean, it looks like a really good game. Iowa State always gets fired up for this. Iowa did play well last week in the second half. They kind of slumbered through the first half, but just way too much physical superiority for NIU in the second half. I think it's a good football game, but I don't know what's going to happen, guys.
Not a lot of high-profile games this week, Dave, but it doesn't matter to you. You're on UMass.
No,
what's up with UMass?
Well, look, I'm not going to put much into Georgia Southern's game last week, which was against an FCS team that didn't know how to stop the triple option, and I'm not sure had even prepared for it. It's kind of a hybrid triple option pistol that they run. The quarterback controls everything. UMass had two games. One was very good, but that was against an FCS team. One was very bad, but that was against a a Boston College team that's really good. Okay, BC is, they could make some noise in the ACC this year. Boston College is the best team they've had in a long time. And they're gonna create some problems for some good teams in the ACC. So I kind of threw that game out. UMass is an independent, and for independents, games like this are really big because getting to a bowl would be absolutely huge for UMass. And looking at their schedule, that, you know, that's what they want to do this year. They want to get to a minor bowl. They're not going. They know they're not going to a big one, but they want to get to a minor bowl. It's exposure, good for recruiting, etc. If they're gonna get the 6 wins, and they've got 1 so far, this is a game they really need. They played last year, and it was all UMass. They killed them. It was 55-20. So you've got a revenge motive for Georgia Southern. But I don't know that they've made up 35 points. I still had UMass as the better team. Not by a lot, but I, generally, if I can find the better team and get a few points in the bargain, I'm usually going to go ahead and take it.
Hey, Dave, before we let you go here, was there a team in college football that surprised you, good or bad, last week?
Yeah, Arizona, bad. Why, when you have a Heisman Trophy candidate who has maybe the best legs of any quarterback in the country, do you suddenly decide, well, let's make him a pocket passer and let's not use design runs? I thought Kevin Sumlin had a preposterous game plan, and I'll be interested to see if they get back to using Khalil Tate like they're supposed to use him in this game against Houston. It'll tell us a lot about the coaching direction of this Arizona team.
Worst, who had the worst night, Arizona or Florida State?
Oh, boy. you know what? I'll say Florida State because, excuse me, I'll say Arizona because Florida State defense played well. And I think the quarterback had a lot of rust on him. You know, he hadn't played for a long time in a real game. I think they'll be okay. Arizona, I'm not so sure. I think Arizona really needs to beat Houston this week. And actually, I think they will. But if they don't, it could be a domino effect, and it might be a very long year for Arizona.
All right. Check out Dave's stuff, smokingcokin.com. Check him out on Twitter, at Dave Cokin, as well. We'll talk next Thursday, Dave. Appreciate it. Enjoy the football.
All right, guys.
All right. There's Dave from Las Vegas here on a Thursday on KGYM. Quick break. Come back. Rob Gray will join us from Cyclone Fanatic after this.
What do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right?
Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
You've been there, right? You put on that jacket you haven't worn in like 6 months. Reach into the pocket and find a McCafe brewed coffee. Well, not really, but there is a crumpled old dollar in there. And on McDonald's 1-2-3 dollar menu, that's the price of any size McCafe brewed coffee or a savory sausage biscuit. Oh, and check the other pocket too. There'll be a tasty sausage McMuffin in there. Find more $1 breakfast favorites on the 1-2-3 dollar menu at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Tax extra.
Napa Know How.
Why should you pick up 2 cans of CRC Brake Clean for $6? Because you know the right way to install new brakes starts with using the right product to clean the calipers and rotors. Plus, a portion of your purchase goes to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, which makes it, like, doubly right. That's CRC Brake Clean, 2 cans for $6. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 9/30/18.
Honey?
In here.
Oh, you painted the ceiling.
Yep.
Blue.
Feels so much less cooped up, right?
I guess. What's the yellow paint for?
Well,
the floor needs a double line, otherwise it's chaos. Can you hand me that yield sign?
It's hard to be without your bike, so do something easy and protect it with Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. With basic policies as low as $75 a year, you'll be back on the road in no time. Visit Progressive.com to quote today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Back with you here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. We are jam-packed today here on KGYM. The Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 coming up. in just a few minutes. And Iowa State coming up this weekend on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. From Cyclone Fanatic, Rob Gray, set to join us right now on a Thursday to talk about it. I enjoyed your story once again. You retold the story about Dan McCartney's puppy. So I enjoyed that again, by the way, Rob.
Well, thanks. He had a few up his sleeve. I didn't know about the gold hair that he pulled out with the vet guys wanted him to get a tattoo, and instead he said, "All right, I'll make my hair like you guys." Took 12 shampoos to get it out. You go. That was such a monumental thing, and it was really an absolutely foregone conclusion that Iowa was going to win year after year, and that kind of ushered in the era of certainly much more competitive playoff series games for sure. Thanks.
Rob, last Saturday, the first game canceled for Iowa State since JFK's assassination in 1963. How strange was last Saturday, and what effect do you think it'll have on this week's game?
Well, yeah, it was really strange, and I mean, you get to the point where, you know, 20 minutes pass and lightning. Early on, I think if they'd gone without lightning for a while, they would have been okay. But it just seemed so ill-fated because after you wait 20 minutes, there's a flash of lightning. Oh, it's within an 8-mile radius. And it just kept going. And I think everyone knew based on the radar that heavy stuff was coming. And it really was a pretty violent storm later on. There was just no way to get that in. So very strange, especially strange since Coach Matt Campbell and certainly part of the staff that a couple years ago and went on the road and won at Arkansas 16-12. You know, I'm not saying there's any correlation to that, but it's just, it's weird. It's been kind of hashed over every which way as to, is it an advantage or a disadvantage? I think it's always a disadvantage that you don't get to play a game, regardless of the fact whether you got 4 minutes and 5 seconds of tape for Iowa to go. But I think they were bummed out, but, you know, can't do anything about it now. And strange as it was, and certainly dispiriting as it was for the fans in particular, they're ready to roll into what is their de facto season opener here in Iowa City.
Before we get to Iowa and Iowa State here, Rob, what do you think ultimately is going to happen with the schedule? Does Iowa State pick up someone on December 1st? Is it an FCS team? And if that's the case, then it's probably going to be, will be a non-playoff FCS team. Or will they try to shoehorn someone in on October 20th? What's your gut feeling?
Well, initially, you know, Tony Pollard, as you know, spoke to us after the game was officially canceled with South Dakota State, and he had kind of expressed a preference for trying to get something in that October 20th, 21st bye week weekend. And then I think he started to think, well, obviously they want to be playing for something more on championship week, but if they're not, maybe it would be better to get in that January. But then he did used to be a call-in show, I guess now it's a tweet-in show, early in the week, and it sounds like it's becoming increasingly difficult when you look at teams that have openings. I think you reached out to one, you indicated you reached out to one and weren't interested. So it's going to be tough, and it's, I mean, you know, I guess they hope they don't need it, but even if they're in a good spot, you know, 7-4 versus a potential to be 8-4, or 6-5 versus the potential to be 7-5, I mean, you know, I know they're pretty cut and dry how they allocate bowl games in the Big 12 with a little bit of wiggle room in a couple of them. But, boy, having that one you hope and you expect win that you don't have on your resume is kind of a big deal. So I guess it's in terms of the chances of having the schedule line up right and having an opponent available who's willing to shoehorn in there.
I know there's a lot of excitement in Ames, Rob, not only because of potentially dynamic offense, but we've heard the defense has the potential of being as good as Iowa State's had in quite some time. I guess your thoughts on both sides of the ball there.
Well, I think the big question mark, as usual, for Iowa State will be that offensive line. It's still a work in progress. Coach Campbell told me earlier around media day that they still think they're a year away from the depth they want there, but they're building up the skill and they're building up the talent. They really like some of the true freshmen they've got in, and maybe via that rule they can come into play at some point this season. A guy like Trevor Downing, and you know, maybe a handful of other guys. real question. We all know last year as a guy who became famous for breaking tackles and making something out of not very much. They were good in pass protection. Hopefully that can carry over. So that's going to be the big, can they against a really good, strong, experienced, mostly Iowa front four, not obviously front seven, given the new guys at linebacker, but that front four is really stout. And they've got to be able to move them a little bit and obviously keep, you know, Nelson, Hesse, and company, other Nelson out of the backfield and away from Kyle Kemp. On the defensive side, I think, you know, they feel deep and strong with youth and experience at each level. It's hard to imagine that this game is going to be anything like last season, but it's hard to imagine a lot of scenarios, including going back to 1998, with regard to this game, and then lo and behold, they come to pass. But I think Iowa State, with its end, Shaquan Bailey, also, I'll just use the first name because I sometimes mangle the last one on the radio, but they're feeling good. We know Iowa's are good. I just think it's going to be a defense-dominated game, and I think whoever can make maybe one more big play, and there won't be a whole lot of them, and can establish the running game the best is the one who probably ekes out a win here. But, you know, Vegas pegged it as four-point game, which probably is home field advantage right there, and I think it is in that toss-up category with two good teams going at it Saturday at 4.
Do you see Iowa State trying to go tempo a little bit more? Iowa's going to play it very close to the vest. Everybody in the world knows that. Maybe 60 plays, 65, 70 plays in there. I can see Iowa State trying to stretch it out when they have the ball, get 85, 90 maybe even. I think the higher scoring game, the better it is for Iowa State. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and I think you're right about tempo. They even showed it a little bit and looked good showing it on a handful of plays they were able to run while taking a 7-0 lead against South Dakota State last Saturday. They got a lot of weapons there. You know, they had a third and long and hit Akeem Butler over the middle. He can kind of be a tight end type, even though they really like their tight ends to emerge this year after just having a total of 5 catches for Chase Allen last year. And the tempo on the touchdown was great. I mean, a perfectly blocked just screen to DeShante Jones, who hadn't, and I guess still hasn't, scored a touchdown since notching 6 as a freshman in 2016. So I think they feel their own exploit Iowa, particularly in that youthful experience linebacker core. If they can get rid of the ball quick enough, and Kyle Kemp's shown propensity and skill to be able to do that, that they're going to try to operate pretty fast as they are able. But again, it goes back to the trenches, and if they're actually able to run the ball extremely well, they're not going to mind grinding out the clock too, as long as that can be established.
Well, the trenches and special teams, so often these games that are, you know, maybe a toss-up come down to special teams. And Iowa State pretty thin at punter and kicker. Tell us where that stands.
Well, they're set at punter, but it's a brand-new guy in Corey Dunn, an Australian transplant that dreamed of playing American football after playing some Australian rules, and here he is. I guess the word is he has 17 different styles for punter, unique and interesting individual, a little bit older than most newcomers, but he came and did a little JUCO football, and they feel good about what they've got there. They've said they feel good about their kickers too, but you know, last week a walk-on, Connor Sally, got the nod as the place kicker, the PAT guy. Chris Francis remains as a kickoff guy, and a really ballyhooed, highly touted freshman, Braden Narveson. I don't know, maybe he becomes a long-distance guy. They might specialize a little bit, but it's a little bit up in the air there. But as you said, I mean, special teams huge, turnovers huge. I mean, look back at the 9-6 game with the Jake Knott tip interception as Van Brooks driving Iowa down the field seemingly to win the game. And you look at a bunch of plays, even that 98 game, a blocked punt, got the Cyclones going early. And you've seen it go the other way too with some big turnover, big interceptions, and et cetera. So no doubt those intangible, those little things, as they say, are going to weigh heavily on Saturday's game and outcome.
So many variables, I think, and two teams that, you know, for the most part, they do a lot of, they're kind of, you look in the mirror and you could see, you know, Iowa looks and sees a lot of Iowa State. Iowa State, I think, looks in the mirror and sees a lot of Iowa, which makes this fun and interesting. And it's been a pretty mellow week until kind of today on social media a little bit on both sides. But, you know, I guess it's just another Cy-Hawk week with two very equal teams, right?
Well, yeah, that's, again, what it looks like going in. And I guess it's been what, 10 and 10 since, including two since that 98 game. Iowa's won 4 of the last 5, and it seems like if there's going to be a blowout, it tends to be in Iowa's favor. I think the Cyclones did win a 23-3 game in the last 7, 8, 9 years, but Campbell's instructive. I asked him about that 42-3 loss at Kinnick that certainly could have been worse. I thought he gave a very thoughtful answer to how that really established, you know, their base. I mean, that was bottom for them. I mean, it was only the second game of the season, I believe, but they learned a ton from that game. A, they learned who was going to play for them and who was really going to show up. And that was vital in season one. And then they carried that over and certainly looked like a pretty good football team the second half of the season. Then last season, they learned how to win after kind of letting that one slip. They turned a great run, touchdown, and subsequent Iowa win eventually in overtime last year. They translated that into a lot of good learning experiences that, you know, led them to an 8-win season. So, it's been kind of a good bellwether game for Iowa State, but certainly looking back to Campbell's first year, this was one of those games where it really, you know, kind of brought the hammer down a little bit to figure out who, this is who we're going to be, and if you're not going to be it, you know, we don't want you around kind of situation.
Have you given a prediction? Are you going to give a prediction?
It's you know, I think last year, I may be mistaken because, you know, I'm going to turn 50 next March, so my memory's not what it used to, but sometime within the last couple of years, I did predict, and I might have been the only one. We always do our picks. This year, I'm not the only one. Another fine gentleman that does our Cyclonic picks. We all have it a pretty close game, generally speaking. I think somehow the Cyclones find a way to make maybe one more big play, maybe get one more missed tackle shed or caused by David Montgomery, and maybe get a one-point win, I think is what I looked at, something in the neighborhood of 21-20. I don't see it being a high-scoring game. I think both defenses are really good. But, man, it's just one of those games that absolutely could go either way, I think. And then we'll all get surprised, right, and it ends up a blowout or ends up being something like last year or that Steel Jans game where the Cyclones pulled it out a few years before that. But it sure looks like it's going to be one of those slobber-knocker-type games where the toughest guys who make the one last play are the ones who emerge victorious.
Belated happy birthday, Rob, but you're a pup still.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, everything's relative, and I say we're all pups. We're staying young.
I gained a year yesterday, so that's not not pup-like. But that's the way it goes. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a fun game and maybe the most hype since the 2002 game. So if it turns out half as good as that one or last year's even, I think we're in for a treat. But all right. Appreciate it, Rob. Thanks for taking time to join us, and have fun at Kinnick on Saturday.
Fantastic. Thanks, Scott and Mark. Appreciate your time.
You bet. Rob Gray joining us from Cyclone Fanatic here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Does great stuff for Cyclone Fanatic, their senior writer. All right, 3:45, we're going to get the panel assembled. As we do, going to give you an opportunity. We need two winners for tickets for the Cedar Rapids Colonels playoff game tomorrow night. Not tonight. It's been moved to tomorrow night.
We hope tomorrow anyway.
We hope tomorrow night. It hasn't rained today, Mark. Been overcast, not real warm, but it has not rained today.
Check the Beloit radar.
Great news here. Yeah, we'll check Beloit. See how that goes. We need two winners, 319-366-1600. You'll, I believe, need to pick these tickets up at Will Call tomorrow, so keep that in mind if you're calling from out of town. And please, it is tomorrow night, so only call if you can use them. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Kyle's going to get callers 5 and 6. We'll get the panel together. We'll have the Emil's Hideaway pick 6 when we come back.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier football team had another impressive victory last Friday night as the number one rated Saints dropped to Cora 45-3. Three more touchdown passes for Quinn Schulte, two of those to Matt Jordebrecht, and Brayton Stovey ran for 198 yards in the win. The Saints entertain Davenport Assumption this Friday night at Saints Field. The Xavier volleyball team remained perfect on the season with a 3-0 sweep of Prairie in MVC play on Tuesday night. Eve McGill and Emily Jasper combined for 24 kills in the match. The previous weekend, the Saints captured the championship in the Washington Invitational by beating Linmar in the finals. Xavier will play in the North Scott Invitational this Saturday in Eldridge.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimber Company, family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimber Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Coors Light, established in 1978 and born in the Rockies, where the only thing more refreshing than your current adventure is what's next. It's why Coors Light is lagered cold for a lighter, crisper taste. Filtered cold to ensure brilliance, clarity, and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve nothing less than the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Light. 2018 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's. Because Lowe's has the tool brands pros count on every day, like Hitachi. Right now, you can get a free compact 3-amp-hour battery when you buy any Hitachi cordless nailer or brushless tool. Plus, save time by ordering ahead online, and your order will be ready for pickup at our Pro Desk. Stop by or visit lowesforpros.com for details. So, Pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 10/24 while supplies last, U.S. only.
3:48 back with you here on the program, and thank you to everybody that called in. Brad in Cedar Rapids, I know one of our winners, and Kyle is on the phone with our other winner. And hopefully the Colonels and Beloit get the game in tonight to set up game two tomorrow, and we hope just game two coming up tomorrow. But Kyle will join us here in just a moment as we will get him in here for the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Dave is here. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you.
Thanks for juggling your schedule today. We do appreciate it.
A little tricky. I told everybody it would be tomorrow.
Well, we thought it would be tomorrow, but things happen in the radio world. We're today.
You can always go to the podcast, kgymradio.com.
Encourage you to do so. All right. Well, Kyle gets things wrapped up. He goes last on the first pick, so I think we got time here, Todd.
Why does he go last, Scott?
It's just the order. Because you won.
I would say call immediately once we give you the phone number, but last week only 5 people got through, and we had to beg and plead, and somebody picked me as the last man standing, and guess what? I was the best 500 picker last week. So thank God for that tiebreaker. It winds up coming through. I get to bat leadoff. Ohio State hosting Rutgers, an actual Big Ten game, second week in a row. Ohio State laying down 35 points at the shoe against Rutgers. Look, I think Ohio says, Chris Ash said they didn't have any problem putting up points without Urban Meyer, but I got a hard time laying 35 in any Big Ten game. Ohio State's way better than Rutgers, but I'm going to take the points.
Alex.
Ohio State last week barely covered up that 38.5. It kept creeping back, and Mark was looking pretty smart there for a second, but they pulled away late in that game. I think they do a similar thing this week. I'll go with Ohio State.
Remind me tomorrow on the or Saturday on the pregame show to bring up Mark's GPA, college GPA, would you? A lot of talk about how smart Mark is. Okay. Duly noted. You took Rutgers.
Yeah. I took Ohio State.
You took Ohio State. Dave.
I'm going to also go with Ohio State. They've outscored Rutgers 220-24.
Ah.
Since 2014, four games.
This is barely
220-24.
This is barely a Big Ten game. Ohio State did give up a bundle of yards last week, but they also scored a lot. They're gonna win this thing by 50. I'll take the Buckeyes.
Dave bringing the knowledge, and I appreciate it, but you know what? Rutgers is better than Oregon State, right?
I mean,
no, give me Ohio State. Give me Ohio State.
All right, Kyle.
Yeah, it's been said it's a lot of points, but I think Ohio State's just got so much more talent. And by the end of this game, I think Ohio State covers it.
Give Lisa Nolan a call if you would like to buy the island that I am on, because it is premium real estate. I'm telling you right now, you guys guaranteed me a 1-0 start. How about this for a throwback? Throwback Thursday. It's a Saturday game, but Nebraska is hosting Colorado, harkening back to the Big 8 days. And Coon's dad, Mr. Colorado, what better way to start than having Alex pick this? The Huskers, a 4.5-point favorite. And remember, like Iowa State, this is their first game of the year as well.
Because I'm getting chills about this matchup. It brings back so many good and not so good memories of the past. But I'm really excited about this Colorado team. A couple names to keep an eye out on. Steven Montez, their quarterback, looks much improved. And their two receivers, KD Nixon and Laviska Shenault, went for 300-plus yards last week against Colorado State. Too much speed for the Huskers. Give me the Golden Buffaloes.
All right, Dave.
I also will take Colorado.
Excellent pick.
Excellent pick right there. How many points is Scott Frost worth? You know, if I have to watch them come out of that tunnel one more time on BTN, I tell you what, I'm
it
ready.
It was beautiful, wasn't it?
It was beautiful.
National championships.
It was beautiful. They needed that game because they weren't going to beat Colorado, and they're still not going to beat Colorado. That's a good football team in a Pac-12 that's not that great. So I'm going to take the Buffs. Ralphie, go.
You alluded to the X factor, and that's Scott Frost. What is he going to put on the field? I think it's a very good debut for Nebraska. So
a
give
true
me the,
freshman quarterback.
X factor Scott Frost and all that. I think Nebraska could look good. I think Nebraska could win this game here. But 4.5 is just enough points that I think I'm going to take Colorado to keep it close.
I'll take Colorado as well. I did have the starter jacket back in the middle school, high school days.
Nice.
Dave gets pick number 3. Michigan State travels to Tempe to take on Arizona State, and the Spartans, a 6-point road favorite, Dave.
Mark D'Antonio is 1-8 as a road favorite since 2015. So I'm going to take Arizona State and the points.
I knew there was a reason we added him to the panel this year. I love it. Scott.
This is for my good friend and former colleague here in town, Jared Ahrens, who is a proud alum of Arizona State. Spark on. Arizona State is going. I think Arizona State's going to win this thing outright, despite Herm Edwards.
I don't think so. I don't think football in Arizona is very good, and I don't imagine Mark D'Antonio was very happy with last week's game. Although Dave's got a good point, we know what happens to Iowa when they go out west. Give me Michigan State.
They don't go west anymore. Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, kind of similar to the last one. Michigan State just, you know, Michigan State didn't look great against Utah State. I think Arizona State's a little bit better than Utah State. And so the way things end up, I think Arizona State at least keeps it close, and I won't be surprised if they win.
Arizona State, bad things happen when big teams go west. Alex.
I love Manny Wilkins, Arizona State's quarterback. Not a big fan of Todd Graham, but I think they get it done.
Lisa Nolan's got a few islands working here, Todd.
So you picked Arizona State, Alex?
Scott, I did.
It was ASU across the board with the exception of Mark. Scott, big rivalry in the state of Pennsylvania. Penn State at Pitt, the Nittany Lions, an 8.5-point road favorite.
Going against my usual thoughts here, I think Penn State bounces back. They got a lot of offense. I'm throwing the 8.5.
I will as well.
I'm with you guys. We're going to go Penn State.
Yeah, I think people are going to be tempted to look at what Penn State did in week one and jump on the points psychologically. I will not fall for that. Give me the Nittany Lions.
I had concerns about Penn State. I still have concerns about Penn State. Pat Narduzzi knows them well. Give me Pittsburgh to cover.
Ooh. Dave, Pitt or Penn State?
Pitt.
Nice. No island there.
All right, Mark. Well, we've got 3 picks left, and they all pertain to the same game, so let's just knock them out all at once. How about that? Iowa, Iowa State, Saturday, Kinnick Stadium. The Hawkeyes are a four-point favorite for the purposes of the pick six. The over-under on that game for our purposes, 47 points, and our tiebreaker this week will be David Montgomery's rushing yards against Iowa's defense. Lay it on me.
I'll tell you why on Saturday on Before the Boom. Give me Iowa State outright to win this game.
Oh, whoa.
It's an under 47. David Montgomery, 111.
Oh, you dirty dog. I had 112 for my number. I'm going to have to come up with something different.
No, you don't.
I'm going to take Iowa. I'm looking at a difference between about more 6-7 points. So I'm taking Iowa. I'm going to take the under, and I'm taking 131 yards.
Boy, this is right where I predicted the final score to be. So in the interest of maybe making it a little more entertaining for me, I'm going to go ahead and take the points in Iowa State. I think this is an under as well. I've got this game at 20-16, and David Montgomery rushing yards. I think Iowa is going to bottle him up for 95 yards. Iowa State's going to be able to move the ball through the air.
I have Iowa by 3, so that would give me Iowa State in the points. David Montgomery at 95 yards. And
He just said 95 yards, Tyler.
Okay, fine. 125 yards. Whatever.
You can have 96 if you want. Nah. It's available.
Yeah, well, change my mind. And I'll go over.
Was that 126
yes.
for David? Okay.
126. Okay. All right, Dave.
Six straight unders in the Cy-Hawk series, so I'm going under. I'm taking Iowa State plus the 4. And 90 yards for David Montgomery.
90 yards. All right. Iowa wins via special teams. 27-21. And based on that, I'm going to go with Iowa. I'm going to go with the under if you do the adding right there.
Wait, 27-21?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
27-20.
Okay.
27-20. So that's 47 push, but we don't do pushes, so I'm going under. And 99 for David Montgomery. There you go.
Please don't leave me hanging this week, although I did reward a listener last week. So 319-366-1600. We need six participants.
Keep calling.
Six pickers. Yeah, please do keep calling because it takes Kyle a while to get everybody's information down. So keep calling 366-1600. Select one of the panelists and whichever one of us did the best job this week. You're going to win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway, located on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's. Dave, thank you very much for bringing the insight to the panel, and good luck to everybody if they can get through. 366-1600.
Before we let you go on the text line, a traffic update. I-380 northbound is slowed down, but a great time to tune in and listen. Not sure where that is on 380. Maybe a few more specifics for us.
All right. We'll be at the Linmar tailgate coming up tomorrow. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming up next here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, KGYM, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Doug Brown. Tonight, real NFL football starts. The Eagles host the Falcons in Philadelphia. According to the Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas, 9.